Hey, this is Sophie.
And this is Tucker, and we're Sophie Tucker.
And you're listening to Rebel Radio.
Fuck you, Josh.
Fuck you, Josh, but I don't know you.
No, fuck you, Josh. Tell him to fuck you, Josh.
Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up, this is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
Hey, what's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio. We are here with our second interview recorded live on the field at Coachella. We got one more coming up next week. But this week we have Sophie Tucker. I don't know if you're familiar with Sophie Tucker's music, but I really like it. And their live show at Coachella was pretty awesome. Really, really good energy. Their first song they made together, they just threw it up on SoundCloud, kind of blew up, and then it got picked up for an Apple commercial. And they have some great stories about how they were able to respond to that success. They basically had to like figure out their whole game plan for their career happening much faster than I think they had originally envisioned. Good problem to have, but some important lessons they learned along the way that they're going to share with us. We also get a little bit of insight into how they complement each other's personalities, make their partnership work, and how they learn to be themselves without trying too hard. I think they had a couple stumbles along the way, and then they figured that out, and some good stories about that coming up on our interview with Sophie Tucker right after our EDM.com track of the week. Yo, that was Broken Roots with Rather Sleep Alone. That's our EDM.com track of the week. That's on the Your Secret label. Go to soundcloud.com/yoursecret for more just like it after you finish listening to my interview with Sophie Tucker. Check.
Oh, and do they
work? Check one, two.
Oh, check.
All right. Check.
Let's see if I can have fun.
Always.
Nice. But you know, I knew Drinky, and then I've been learning about you guys, just kind of reading up, and it sounds like an amazing story.
Thanks.
So, if I understand it correctly, you guys kind of met and started making music immediately, and the song kind of blew up right away.
Yeah, we met at the end of college, our senior years. Hadn't even seen each other, and we went to Brown, which is not a very big school.
Right.
So it's kind of funny how that worked.
Yeah, we ended up making Drinky our last week of college. I'd rather sleep alone.
Like the first real song we wrote together, like original one song together in a room.
So I want to go back kind of to the very beginning and tell me like when each of you first fell in love with music. Do you remember like a record or
no idea when it began. Because I keep being asked that question, and I actually really don't know. Maybe just because I have a bad memory, but I
She has a bad memory.
I have a really bad memory.
I do too. It's terrible.
But I, you know, for as long as I can remember,
it's the best part.
I have been really
just always
into music and movement in particular, like moving to music as just sort of being, as my way of being, I guess. I don't know,
I feel that's like okay. One of my earliest musical memories is I'm from Boston, and we'd drive up to New Hampshire in the summer sometimes, and my parents would have, they must have been some like disco compilations or something, but I remember hearing like Chic and like War, like Lowrider, and like some of those songs. I could still just recite all of them from like those cards when I was, I don't even know how young I was, but for some reason those songs stand out as like, and then my dad singing House of the Rising Sun back in the day, The Animals, that's like the best song of all time.
I mean, definitely one of the records, now that you're saying that, one of the records that was
jogging
very formative.
The memory.
Yeah, jogging
the memory. The wheels are turning.
I'm trying to think real hard here. My parents were really, really into Buena Vista Social Club, and I listened to that record on repeat forever. Yeah. Every weekend that, you know, that was the soundtrack. And I think I just loved it. I mean, I loved it, and I still do.
I don't even know
that. We went to Cuba like 5 years ago, my wife and I, and they were playing.
So
they were actually playing in our hotel.
Oh my gosh. So have you seen the documentary?
Yeah,
like
10
times. Incredible.
So cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That guy, Ibrahim Ferrer, I want to meet him so bad.
Totally.
I just feel like he's going to be the best soul in the world.
I don't know. Was he the one, like, that was just, like...
Other than you, Tucker.
What am I, soul?
Was he the one that just, like, totally came to life when he sat down?
Yeah, he's a singer. He has, and he has a couple songs by himself
that
are just magical.
Hey, don't forget to support Blue Apron. Blue Apron is a sponsor of the Rebel Radio Show. We got Blue Apron delivered to the house now every week. It's great, delicious, healthy meals. They do all the prep for you. You just throw it in the oven or cook it up and have a wonderful meal with the family. Make sure you hit up Blue Apron if you like it. I'd love to hear what you think about it.
So what about then, so you met and started making music. What was the first time on stage together?
Oh, it was awful. I hated it. Yeah, I cried afterwards, and I was thinking, have I made the wrong decision? Is this really what I want to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the second time.
Wait, why was it
off? Well,
it was
at Babies, right?
It was trying to do...
It was like a CMJ show.
Okay.
And it was the first time our managers had ever seen us, actually.
Yeah.
Or not even, they weren't our managers yet. We were like managerless. We had like nothing going on except the song Drinky had come out and it got an Apple commercial. So then like we were trying to scramble and put our team into place and get things going.
Sure.
And we played this CMJ show in New York, in Brooklyn, around the corner from our houses really. And it was like sold out because of the headliner. We were like first of three. And it was just hard.
We were thinking so hard, I think, about what we were doing, and we were trying to be... It almost felt like we had this idea of who we wanted
to be
on stage.
Trying to be cool and dark and mysterious and, like, not really us.
Turns out we're not very dark
or mysterious.
Or I like how you
cool.
skipped cool. No!
Okay, okay. Here's the conclusion that we've come to, is that being really...
I mean, Jordan's on.
Come on, the retro twos.
Here's the conclusion we've come to. Being really excited and happy and smiling is us, and it is...
It's cool because that's
opinion,
how
cool.
we actually are.
But I think we tried really hard to, like, not show our emotion.
Our excitement.
Yeah. And so I just didn't have fun at all.
So,
I didn't like it.
So what'd you do? Like, how do you bounce back from that?
So we had another show, like, the next day, I think. Because CMJ, we had, like, three shows. Or, no it wasn't CMJ.
That was opening.
It was Tokimon.
So one of the things that happened is...
So then we had the show at the Standard.
Yeah.
Then we had our first ever show.
And then I went the other direction, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be myself, and I'm going to show how much I love it.
Yeah.
And after the show, Tucker was like, you got to reel it in.
Reel it in, Sophie. Reel it in.
I was like a loose cannon.
She was a total loose cannon.
I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, it was like her rambles in between songs were
just so excited.
I was mortified. But then we found the happy medium, and it was great.
And I had a great time that show.
That was our first headline show. It was like our little coming out party.
Yeah.
And it was like all our homies in New York, and it was really... You were at that, Justina? Yeah. She was sent again probably by our perspective. Is that the right word? Perspective manager at the time. Uh-huh. That,
I'm so
and
glad
we were better
back.
That time probably, but it was funny.
So... When things start happening really quickly like that, how did you guys, because you hadn't planned necessarily on this being the career.
We hoped it would be. We were
kind of did put all our eggs in the basket.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When we look back on it, we're like, how did we do that? That was like,
that was the most ridiculous risk we've ever taken.
Super reckless.
So how did you do it? Like.
So, I mean, we started right when we graduated. So we were like, the handbook is make music that you are really excited about and music that you want to hear.
Yeah.
And then, you know, get a couple breaks. Someone heard it on SoundCloud and wanted to put it in an Apple commercial, which made us not have to go get jobs and focus on other things, other jobs.
Yeah.
And we got to focus on this, and we had a bit of time to, like, try to really make it happen. And we had some great mentors and friends. The band The Knox had us in their studio, or they let us use their studio when they weren't in it, like, late at night and stuff, to, like, work on our tracks, and met a lot of people in New York and just grinded and, like, started making it happen, sort of.
Did you guys envision you'd be playing Coachella?
No. I was hoping for next year, maybe.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know what
at the time, I never thought we'd ever play Coachella, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. It's funny because, like, those questions are hard because, like, we believe in ourselves and we wouldn't do it if we didn't feel excited and passionate and that we're onto something. But it's also, you know, everyone's a little biased about their own art and stuff. So it seemed more risky when we look back on it now than at the time we were like, we can do this. I don't know why we thought that.
There weren't that many signs that were, you know, telling us that we could do this, you know? But we took any sign that we could possibly get. And
every little victory, we'd be like, yes,
we're on to it.
This is why.
Let's do it.
We're supposed to be doing this.
Sure. That's great.
Yeah.
So now, playing here, like, does that change the game for you guys?
It felt like a stepping stone a bit.
Yeah.
I didn't know it would until we, like, played the show last week.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I think it's a bigger audience than most of the audiences we've played to, and it's kind of thrilling to learn how to communicate with a different size crowd. That's been really fun for us, and not something that I think we necessarily knew how to anticipate. Like, it's a really different thing to be performing to a 200 people versus 500 people versus 1,000 people versus 10,000 people. And so I think we're really excited to get good at the larger crowd numbers because, you know, the vibe in that space is just insane. And it's so fun to
A big part of our performance is, like, reaching out and, like, connecting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to do that in a 300-person club, like when we're playing our headline shows. And rather than coming to a festival where, you know, some of the people might not know who we are, a lot of people might not know who we are who are there, and, you know, we have to reach way
back. But we were very pleasantly surprised by the reception. I mean, people were just there to love.
It was amazing.
And
we didn't know. It was before sundown. It's really hot out here. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know if it would be some of the tent full, if it wouldn't be good or whatever. And we got out there. By the end of the show, it was, like, way out the back, and we were just, like, totally in awe and felt really excited.
So, do you change anything then for tomorrow's show? Or is it like you respond to the feedback that came from last week?
I think we can be much better, actually.
Yeah, I do too.
We left that show feeling like, oh my god, amazing, but, you know, it's a little rough around the edges and we can do things better. Yeah. So I feel like it's, I think we can go and do even better. I don't think we're going to change too much. We're not going to, like, change too much about the set list or anything. I think it actually, the energy level was good the whole time, and it felt really nice. We're going to have a different different guest appearances and stuff, so the dynamic will feel different, but it's always a lot of smiling and dancing and jumping around.
Yeah.
We're real cool. It is important to think in that way, but like we try to create the world that we want to live in that really tiny 45-minute time period, and that's definitely the world we want to live in, and I really hope that that trickles out in some way.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well said.
How do you do that? Well,
good question.
Well, I've seen in interviews you talk about joy, you talk about movement, right? As values.
I let it flow through my body. I don't know. How do we do it? Gosh.
I guess what I'm asking is it a conscious thing, right? That you've identified these values that are important to you?
I think if you try too hard to, like, push that on other people,
well, then it will become inauthentic.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think we've learned that that's not the way to do it. And the way to do it is to, like, really love what we're doing. And when we are genuinely as excited as we actually are on stage, like if you took our pulse or something, you would, like, know we're not fucking with you. It's like I think that's what connects and can, like, transcend the space and the music even and hopefully into a better world in a non-cheesy way, especially with the leaders we have right now. It's, like, it's important to, like, I mean, Sophie was always, when we were starting, she was very conflicted whether she wanted to do this or not, because she had so much training in conflict resolution and world peace and the things that she studied in all throughout school. And I was sort of saying, like, look, if we are successful at what we're trying to do here, you're going to have a platform to help a lot more people than you could right now.
Or helping isn't even the right way to put it, but I think I felt like I had a responsibility, quote unquote, to make the world a better place, because my education always was encouraging me to do so and to think about life in that way, and I think
But now we go to all these countries and we feel like ambassadors.
Yeah, in a way.
Or like, we like, you know, we went to Mexico right after Trump was inaugurated. And if, to stand up in front of 10,000 people and say, like, we're from New York, we're Americans, and we love you guys, and we appreciate you guys. And so many people came up to us after the show and, like, said thank you. We needed to hear that right now. And it's like, that's so cool. I never thought I'd be in a position to do something like that. And it's not, you know, that's not, like, what I was thinking when we were making these songs. Sure, I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do from this. But, like, kind of is. It's kind of cool.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this interview with Sophie Tucker. Make sure you check out all three of our episodes recorded live at Coachella. We were really excited to get our Coachella press passes and be part of that. Last week, we had Jesse Fleming, who's one of the founders of the Do Lab and Lightning in a Bottle. Go back and check that episode out after you finish up here with Sophie Tucker.
What about your partnership? You seem like you complement each other really well. But, you know, partnerships are hard.
Yeah, we are pretty much opposite people.
Yeah.
And
give an example.
Everything.
Everything. Like, our paces are different.
Okay.
I'm pretty, we call,
I call her Slophie.
He calls me Slophie. And I really like, I'm like kind of a dreamer. Yeah. And this is not a compliment to myself, you know. I struggle with it. And I can sort of go move slowly and smell the flowers and not remember that time and space exist. And Tucker is the opposite. He's like, you know, really on time and really on top of like what's going on right here, aware of his surroundings in a way that is awesome. Yeah. And I need. That's just one example.
So how do you make that work? How do you make those differences work for you?
Well, they kind of work well because then sometimes, well, I'm getting to understand what it's like spending all my time with someone who's like that. And same with her. And I think she becomes a little less late to stuff. And I maybe smell the roses occasionally. So.
And I think it goes for a lot of our traits. It's like, we're so opposite.
Same with music making, even.
Yeah.
Like, we both sort of end up doing it all together. But, you know, she was coming from really slow, acoustic, lyric intensive music, and I'm coming from, you know, house music and club music, and it's really like a, it's just, we're both not compromising that much, like we're not really like changing that much, it just kind of works with the other one.
Yeah. Because we're so different, we like we don't have much conflict, and when we do, I think it comes and goes really quickly, and neither of us have very good memories. So
yeah, it's just when we're like overtired and cranky.
Yeah.
Sure,
like, but then we forget about it.
Yeah.
So great.
Well, we're also so excited about what we're doing, and I'm so proud to be, you know, doing this with her and a lot of badass women, in fact. That I was always on sports teams. I played basketball in college and stuff, so I didn't get to,
so you're around guys,
like, I was around guys a lot and around the culture that's very, you know, not about individuality, not about creativity, about sort of conforming and about, you know, be a man up, don't be a pussy, things like that, which, you know, don't fly with these ladies, and it's amazing. I'm learning so much, and I'm like, we're all learning a lot because they didn't know anything about that culture either, and it's like, it's all fun, all the differences.
What's the hardest part of the job so far?
Hardest part of the job?
Not seeing friends.
Yeah, being on the road is just a lifestyle that you can't really like prepare for. It's bizarre, and I don't really,
I love it though.
Yeah, no, but it's
not complaining. I'd love to see my friends more.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't trade it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't really have like a quote unquote normal like
no routine.
Life routine with friends and
sure. Or even like waking up at a certain time. Like
yeah,
there's no like we don't get to get up at the same time ever, like. But it's also like we make so many friends in different places around the world, and it's like the coolest. So, Def not complaining.
Is there a favorite place?
Brazil.
Brazil.
It's so great. That's like his instant answer. He's as in love with it as I am. You did?
We were there. We just played in Sao Paulo.
Oh,
I've heard such good things about that place.
So I want to go.
Everyone's like, you have to go there.
Yeah.
It was our first trip there, and a lot of our music's in Portuguese.
Yeah.
So that it's like our biggest market,
yeah,
and
sure.
It was just madness. And the way they take their like nightlife so seriously is just the coolest.
Yeah,
they love dancing and partying, and they're so loving and beautiful.
Yeah. So obviously you guys have great management from the beginning that didn't seem to find you.
We
right
got
away.
So lucky.
Wow. What about mentors? Are there folks that have helped you kind of figure out your way?
The Knox, Ben and James, the two guys in the Knox. I met them. I was DJing in Brown, like I DJed a party and opened for them in a club in Providence, and they just taught me like the difference between music and sports and education and the ways I had experienced them, which was really all I'd ever experienced in life. And those things are so competitive, and they taught me such an inclusiveness. Like they introduced us to like all their artist friends. Everyone was so embracing, was so hyped about the music, like right away. Weren't competitive, weren't trying to be, you know, it's just so cool. I was never ever in an environment, and I think they taught me that the best, that like everyone wants everyone to win. I had never really seen that before.
Yeah.
Coming from such an athletic family,
so
such a different lifestyle. So that's probably the coolest thing they've taught me. And just like, that's really probably the coolest thing they've taught me.
I'm thinking hard because I've mentors in so many different ways.
Mentor. They're also just like my friends who I hang out with in
like
New York now.
Yeah, like people that inspire me, certainly.
This mentor sounds like an old white dude. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who comes to mind that inspires you?
Well, maybe just because she's sitting next to me, but also because she's amazing. My day-to-day my day-to-day manager, among many other things, Justina, is one of the most... speaking of skills that I do not have and have not trained...
This girl's oozing with skills.
Oh, my goodness. She...
Woman.
...gets shit done and has a conscious, social conscience that is just incredible. And I feel like she's my mentor in thinking about our project in the big picture. Like, you know, we're kind of on the road every day doing our things. But I think she has a way of thinking about what it might mean to other people and how it might impact people in the world. And I'm really grateful for her mentorship in that point of view.
How's it feel to hear that?
I don't know. Put on the spot, but it's amazing. And I just feel so appreciated. Wow, thank you.
You're very ridiculously appreciated. And then, of course, there, you know, she can sort of, like, get up early and get on a flight and do her thing and always, like, have a smile on her face and get things done. And I'm definitely trying to get better at coping with, like, you know, not having sleep and not having the right food or not having the right things, you know, and just, like, showing up to work and getting things done in the way that she can. I find that really inspiring as well.
Yeah,
me too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I think I need to say my dad, too, actually. A lot of things that I've learned from him that I never really processed. Now I, like, see myself doing so many things that I've learned from him. And because it's, you know, we're really, like, as much as it is a creative thing and we want to be artists and focus on the art, we're also kind of running a little company.
Yeah.
And it's like, a lot to handle and, you know, a lot of, like, leadership things that, you know, you don't necessarily always have from just being a creative person. And there's cool things like that that I think have, like, stood out a lot that I've learned from my dad. Wanted to say it.
That's cool. Nice.
Yeah, gosh, we could go on and on.
Yeah, we could go on forever.
All right. Well, I have a little, like, speed round that I like to do. We'll do a short version, and then I'm going to let you get out on the field.
Get burnt.
Come on, Eddie, burnt.
I'm so burnt.
Before I ask, who are you excited to see, or who did you see last week that was
Love the XX.
Yeah.
I'd never seen them, and I was really excited to.
Love Justice, that was a really great set.
I'm super excited to see Bishop Briggs this week. I didn't get to see her last week.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Lady Gaga tonight because we didn't get to do that last week.
Nice.
And I really want to see Hans Zimmer because the reviews just blew my mind.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Kind of. There's a lot. I mean, there's so many good artists.
Yeah.
I feel bad that I'm sure I'm forgetting good ones, but.
No, those all sound great.
You know.
I'm excited to see your show.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so if I worked for you guys, what would I hear you say over and over?
Tucker?
Fuck off! No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
No, not at all. I would... I don't know. Hopefully that we appreciate you.
Okay.
I think it's important.
I was going to say a lot of penis jokes from Tucker.
Oh, a lot of penis jokes. Yeah.
It's important.
I'll tell them after they're really, you know, after. That's later. Yeah, I think it's good to... we try to, like, tell everyone that we appreciate what they do because everyone's working really hard, and
yeah,
it still blows our minds that people are, like, working hard to benefit what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I know, I guess it benefits everyone when we do well, but it's still, like, a hard thing to get our minds around. So keeping morale up by, like, making sure everyone knows they're loved and appreciated is key. See, she just did it, if you didn't notice.
That's amazing. Who would you be most excited to learn was a fan?
That's a cool question.
Larry Bird.
Okay.
Although he wouldn't be a fan.
Probably not. Doesn't strike me.
Well, I can think of a better one. I can think of a better one.
No, I mean... Yeah.
But, like, he's the legend.
Gaetano Veloso or Gilberto Gil. That would, I would probably, gosh, I don't know what I would do. I would definitely cry, like, from joy. But it would be a beyond, I mean, I sort of have put them in a space in my mind that is,
whew. I would love Denzel to like us. I don't know why. He's just so cool. Like, if Denzel likes someone, it's tight.
Okay.
Pharrell can be cool, too. Cool people.
Tell me the last great book you read or a book that's had a huge impact on you.
You go first.
Well, we were just at an Airbnb and she had a great collection of books. And I picked up a book that is one of my favorites, so I just reread it. It's called Women Who Run with the Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely inspiration for a lot of lyrics and ideas that I try to run with.
Yeah, I would say Just Kids, Patti Smith's book, which is just a really cool, it's just fun because we are, like, you know, young artists living in New York, and comparing it to, like, the New York she lived in when she was a young artist is just, like, mind-blowing and crazy.
Patti Smith was a fan also? Wow.
Patti Smith was a fan, that would be the coolest. Stromae was a fan, that'd be the coolest. There's a lot of things. Anyone? I'll take anyone, personally. Obama would be tight.
What movie have each of you seen the most?
Ooh. The Notebook.
Really?
Yeah, I just rewatched it twice.
Okay.
When I was sick.
She loves to cry.
It's so cathartic, and I know that it'll make me cry, so I just go to it.
My wife is the same way.
I love it.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I was just sick this past week, and I was just like, I literally put on my to-do list, like, watch, like, movies that'll make me cry. So I just watched it twice.
Probably me, I guess it'd be, like, Wedding Crashers or Billy Madison.
Okay.
Frida's the other one that I always rewatch.
That's cool.
You rewatch? I feel like when I see serious movies, I'll, like them, but I'm not gonna, like, binge watch them over and over again.
It's not serious. It's just
compared
moving.
To my movie choices, they're pretty serious.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I mean, this is again, here we are.
I get it. And then, for you, favorite DJ of all time?
Oh my gosh. That's so hard. Favorite DJ of all time?
Who's just the first person that comes to your mind?
Well, there's
even
different,
of like,
scenes of my life that I've been into. I was, like, early Chami.
You can have more than one.
Early Chami really blew my mind. Started an entire, like, future house that then sort of all the big room house guys started making, and everyone's just copied him, and then it was kind of like, I felt bad because his sound was just so diluted, but like, the way he started something like that, and that was right after I really sunk my teeth into house music and stuff, so that was like really cool and impactful on me, he was,
yeah.
And I still loved, whenever I see him at a festival, I get excited.
That's a good one. So, if you're into DJs or your favorite live show that you've ever seen?
My favorite live show that I've ever seen. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Feist, because that was one of the first concerts that I went and saw, and I felt so inspired to be in her position. And I felt like I could do it. I don't know why, I think that's really what the best art does.
Because you could.
No, well, yeah, I guess that's what it is. But, you know, the best art is, like, you go and you watch it, and you're like, I want to go home and create. Like, I just got it. And I remember I, like, left the concert, and I went and, like, wrote a song, and I wrote her a letter, which was basically just to myself. I never sent it.
Yeah.
But that was, like, a really pivotal moment when I was like, I'm not going to hide it from myself any longer. Like, that's really what I want to do.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she sort of brought that out in me.
Great. I appreciate it.
You're great.
Talking
to
me.
Thank you.
Yo, that was Sophie Tucker. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Leave us a review on iTunes. Give us like 5 stars maybe. Then send us a comment. Hit us on Twitter, Facebook. Check out our new YouTube page at Rebel Radio Net across all channels. We got a bunch of videos popping up on YouTube. Love to hear what you think about that. And most importantly, come back next week. My guest will be Will Clark before he takes the Doolab stage at Coachella. It'll be the last of our Coachella Live episodes. Peace.